Shane Bauer. If that name sounds familiar, that's because he's one of the Americans jailed in Iran back in 2009 while on a hiking trip. Bauer is a journalist, and he spent 410 days in Iranian jail on charges of illegal entry and espionage. His now wife, Sarah Shord, and friend Joshua Fatal were also imprisoned. Bauer was released in 2011 and has since written a book about his story. He's also been reporting on the American prison system, and for his latest report, he spent 4 months undercover as a prison guard at the Wynn Correctional Center, a private prison in Louisiana. He lived day in and day out witnessing prison life firsthand. What he experienced is detailed in a report he wrote for the San Francisco-based news magazine Mother Jones called My 4 Months as a Private Prison Guard. Shane Bauer came by our studios and I asked him first, how did he get a job as a prison guard?
I just didn't think it would happen. I mean, I just thought, well, I'll just try it. You know, it only takes an hour to fill an application. I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. And
really?
Then, yeah. And then once I start getting calls back, I was like, whoa, they want to talk to me. And I did some interviews and I never got asked why I wanted to work in a prison. I never got asked about my job history. I just was asked kind of boilerplate questions like, you know, if you are told to work with somebody who you don't get along with, how will you deal with it? You know, the kind of stuff that you might expect from like a McDonald's interview or something like that.
What was it like when you first went there? What was your impression about the place?
I mean, the first time I went in there, it was really nerve-wracking. I was like really high-strung. There were a few other people there. There was one guy that was right out of high school who asked me if I was nervous, and I said, yeah, I'm a little nervous, and I asked if he was nervous, and he said something like, not really, I've been around killing, my uncle's in prison, and, you know, he had been stabbed, and, I mean, he had a pretty rough life.
And out of high school they're hiring him?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was a good number of people working there that were, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old.
What about the demographics? Were you, like, the only white guy?
Among the guards?
Yes.
In my group of cadets, actually, the majority are white. But in the prison in general, the guards were majority black and majority women.
Majority women?
Yeah.
In a men's prison?
Yeah. A lot of the doctors that worked at Wynn had histories of medical malpractice. And I don't know, you know, exactly how they ended up at Wynn. But that was kind of true in the different groups of employees. There was a set of people that had some kind of checkered history, and CCA hired them. There was a guard who had worked in a juvenile detention center who shattered the jaw of a 16-year-old kid by uppercutting him,
and
CCA hired him.
That's,
I mean,
crazy.
He's making $9 an hour, but he has a job.
Mm-hmm.
There was an instructor teaching us about the use of force and asked what we should do if we saw two inmates stabbing each other. And
what should you do?
He said that we should verbally tell them to stop and call for backup on the radio, but we do not intervene. He said, if these fools want to cut each other up, then happy cutting. And, you know, the other part of it was that we, as guards, didn't have weapons. You know, we just had a radio. We didn't have mace. We didn't have a billy club. Nothing. So
is that normal? Is that
guards in a lot of prisons would have at least pepper spray. There was a tactical team called the SWORT team that they had pepper spray. So there was maybe five or so guys.
What is SWORT?
Staff. It means Special Operations Response Team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a SWAT team kind of thing, but they use non-lethal weapons. And they're the ones that, you know, if there's a riot or something, would be sent in to kind of try to bring it under control. A man had escaped right when I started training, and there was a lot of violence. There were a lot of stabbings happening. There was, I remember, in 2 days, there were 70 shanks found in the prison. And the lockdown went on for 11 days, and the prisoners were getting really frustrated about it.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and my guest is Shane Bauer from Mother Jones. We're talking about his article, My 4 Months as a Private Prison Guard. Was there a particular interaction with a prisoner or prisoners that you had that, you know, that just stands out to you and is memorable for you?
There are several of different kinds. I mean, there was one prisoner that I got to know who I call Corner Store in the story, who is somebody who basically run, you know, exchange items between different prisoners, like, you know, ramen packets for honey buns or something like that. And they would give him kickbacks. And I would, you know, spend a lot of time talking to him about the place and about other places he'd been and how they compared. And, you know, he'd been in prison for almost 20 years.
Well, we have a clip by Corner Store, and let's take a listen.
As far as fighting and stabbings, it doesn't surprise you anymore after you've seen it so long. Wind has no control, and they have no control over security whatsoever.
He was supposed to be released while I was working at Wynn, and I had this idea that he would get released and then I would find him while I was still working there, but then kind of find him and tell him I was a journalist and try to kind of follow him as he was reintegrating. And his release day came and went and he was not released. He was, you know, essentially going to be released because he had enough good time that he would have been released early, but he didn't have an address to go to, and he wasn't being placed anywhere else, and he said that the person in charge at Wynn was just not really finding somewhere for him to go. So he ended up spending another year in prison, and when he did get out, I went to Louisiana and met him in Baton Rouge.
As a journalist.
Yeah. And he
what
knew.
What did he think?
Well, he said he insisted that he knew something was up, and he said he always saw me writing in my notebook, and it was there was something off about me. And other prisoners, while I was working there, would say, you know, there's something going on. There's something different about you. I was shocked to meet a man who lost his fingers and legs to gangrene because he wasn't getting medical treatment, even though he had been requesting it for months. The guards weren't something I was really thinking about going in. I was kind of more interested in the conditions for prisoners, but I found that the line between the two is very thin. I mean, there's basically the same socioeconomic class. A lot of guards are selling drugs in the prison themselves. Some of them knew prisoners from childhood. You know, they all kind of felt in some way exploited by the whole situation.
Hmm. Okay, I have to ask you this. Uh-huh. You once were a prisoner.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In Iran. When going into Wynn, what did you feel in terms of that? And did you have any compare, contrast in your mind in terms of this? You know, this is the United States. We like to pride ourselves on being, you know, kind of the place where there is law and order, and that is Iran. And what kind of thoughts did you have?
Well, I didn't have any illusions about the U.S. prison system. I mean, you know, I'd been reporting on it for a while, and, you know, I did a story about people that had been in solitary confinement for decades. You know, we have more prisoners here than anywhere by far.
Did your mind go back to Iran?
But I mean, it did maybe add another level to the kind of, I don't know, sense of shame sometimes at being a guard and the things that I had to do that job, you know, and to maintain. There were a lot of times I wanted to tell prisoners that I had been a prisoner myself, or tell them, you know, why I was there or something like that. But there were times that it came up, you know, that I thought of it. There was one time that I was handing out food trays and somebody took an extra tray, And I just kind of start yelling at this guy. And there was a time when I was in prison that one of the more intense times of that experience that my friend Josh took an extra food tray from a cart and a guard flipped out on us. And, you know, there was a moment at Wynn where I was like, wow, here I am. It didn't take much for me to be on the other side of this, you know.